Mondays can be a tough day, but would you like something to brighten up your Monday afternoon? Well, tune in to my show, Dark Glasses, on CFRC 101.9. My name's Daniel Wolf, and the show is now in its 14th year with a mixture of mainly jazz, but also blues, folk, some pop, even retro pop, and the occasional interview. So that's Dark Glasses, Mondays at 2 p.m.
All right, it's 7 o'clock, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. This is hour two of Aboriginal Voices.
My goodness, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
ice fishermen will be happy.
Yeah, well, people still have to check the ice, especially now in February. So.
Mm.
But I was just thinking that also with the snow on the ground and all that freezing rain, you didn't want to walk around anywhere because you'd fall over or trip or what you would think is normally steady walking and crunching in the snow. Not in freezing rain, you don't do that. But traditionally, the folk used to do storytelling in these months, right? So, mm-hmm. I don't know, did you have that in your house?
I wouldn't say. I would say that in our house, the stories are all the time.
So, I was just wondering if you want to kind of take a quick look this hour.
Sure.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Because one of the things that my interest is in engaging with young people and seeing what they can get from a story and what they can do with ideas in the outdoors. And so, I thought about, having a family with ages sort of 6 to 12, but the fact that you could kind of build cultural identity and things like empathy and connection to the land just by, telling tales, the traditional tales or stories that can get made up.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the way we do at Aboriginal Voices is through song. You may have heard that in the first hour, those different artists, they have ways of sharing their stories or stories about issues that are important to their community. The other thing that came up as I was planning and talking with a couple of families about this was somebody said, well, what about, drumming? Because that's part of it. Because the one lady said her son, who's 7 years old now, when they start telling stories, he's starting to think up things, and he keeps the beat as you tell the story. And she was wondering if, that's something that we could talk about, or even bring in somebody who has hand drums. So I thought maybe we could ask the folks at Four Directions, right here on Queen's campus. Maybe because they've got a drumming and singing group, maybe they could come and tell us about the drum and storytelling. I don't know. Ideas, just ideas. Folks out there might want to help us, right?
It's hard to define this place. I'm seeing everything a different way. I'm just a hue of who I used to be, with your shadow hanging over me. There's part of me that blames myself for taking so long to climb my way out. But you are somebody different than camouflaging as a better man. Now I throw paint at the walls again, so I can make some sense of the mess I'm left here with. Just a glimmer of light, showing you colors. Now I'm so blue, so blue. Everything in my eyes turns black and white and blue. You're take back the winter time. Took your paintings off the walls, that's fine. I'd rather change this whole apartment than have to keep a piece of you in it.
Kristen, welcome back to Aboriginal Voices.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to be back.
We're going to talk a little bit about going outdoors in the winter. And, you know, it's easy to talk about clothing and when you need to stay warm. And if you're going out by yourself, you know what you're going to do. If you're going out with a small group of kids like your own children or some friends have come over, just focusing on what's there and remembering some people listening are already live in the woods. Mm-hmm. Some are on farms, some are in communities where they have land around them, and others are living in apartments or single homes in mm-hmm. a city.
Right.
So we're gonna kind of give something for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your favorite activity, just if you go outdoors yourself?
I just like to walk. So walks have always kind of been my thing, and when I'm by myself, it's nice because I can choose my own path, and I don't have to worry about if the snow's too deep for the kids or if the dog's going to get tangled in some brush, and I can just walk and, you know, observe what I observe and, you know, think and just feel lighter. And I feel like it's kind of journaling for a lot of people. A lot of people journal,
mm-hmm.
And I feel like I walk, and it does the same sort of thing for me. It feels like life untangles a little bit by the time I get back home from my walk, so that's what I like to do.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. In the winter, you know, we get nice sunny days, you mm-hmm. get overcast days, you get snowy days, you get the wind and snow.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you cope with all of those? You like walking in each of those kind of weather events in the winter?
I think so. I mean, I prefer the sunny days. They definitely feel lighter and warmer, but I've been out with, you know, snow blowing in my face as well. It still accomplishes the same thing for me.
Mm.
Yeah. The movement is really good, and just that connection with nature. So even if I'm not really anticipating a change, it happens, you know.
You're doing your observation of what's around you in the environment as you go, but it's sort of into it.
Yeah, it's, you know, I had somebody ask me one time how I connect with nature and de-stress. Like, do I step on grass in my bare feet, or, you know, what is it? And for me, it's very visual. So I'm sure I pick up on the sounds of nature as well. But for me, the last time I was out, I saw a little archway into the woods, a little trail. And it was all freshly snowed, and it was beautiful. And I walked in, and then the woods got kind of like gnarly and tangly. And when I turned around, it didn't have the same view on the way out. But the way in, the view was so nice, I went back to the beginning again, just so I could see it and walk through it one more time.
Oh, okay.
So just the different scenery, the way the snow hangs on the trees, or the different pathways or footprints in the snow, whatever it is, it's very, the visual sense, you know, scenes, and just, they really just do something sort of intuitively to me, just sort of recharge me. But it's just like the different observations visually, I think. Probably some sound in there too. Not so sure about like touch. I don't think I'm doing a lot of touching in the winter. You know, you have gloves on and the toques and scarves. But yeah, the visuals are really important to me.
And so when you're walking, you know, I plan to walk on the snow at different temperatures to get the sounds of the snow.
Okay.
Do you do that or intentionally, or have you part of the sounds that come with being out and walking in the woods or walking in a field?
I think I'll have to pay more attention to sounds. Yeah, I think I walk the path of least resistance, to be honest.
Oh, okay. You don't take the new path, right? Right, so you're not like Sally when she goes walking with me. Sally's our dog, and so she goes for a little while bounding through the snow on her own, and then I'm out walking on my snowshoes, and the next thing I know, I look behind me, and that's where she is,
following me. Your trail. Well, there's usually tractor trails all through the property, and I try to stick to those because they're easier. And the one time I went out, and they weren't there, and I didn't really realize it at first. I didn't realize how deep the snow was. The snow was over my boots, and I didn't have snowshoes, so that was a shorter walk. But it probably took me just as long as as usual because I didn't realize that there just weren't trails there, and it was going to be more difficult.
Mm. I was just thinking about the sounds, and that's why I asked about the sounds. I go and sounds at 0 or -1, the snow is different texture to it, so I get a different sound with my outdoor boots. And if I go at -10, I get the sounds, a different kind of a crunchy sound.
Okay.
And -18, I know I better cover up all the places that my hands and my face and that sort of thing,
right,
and my earlobes, because it's getting cold and the crunchy sound is really sharp. And if you get into the -20s, it's even more striking how different it is from 0 or -1.
Right.
And I'm lucky because I have a beard, and so but it also is, you know, here's my danger zone. When I'm breathing outdoors and working, and you know, my mustache will frost up, or around my mouth it'll frost up. And if it's hard ice, the danger is this is too cold. Be careful. You know?
Right.
So I look around. If people are with me, then I check on everybody. Mm-hmm. Make sure they ventilate the heat from their bodies, or zip their coats back up if they're starting to get cold.
Right.
No exposed skin, and there's that sort of barrier between -18 and -21.
Right.
That it'll happen. But I've skied in different places and hiked and snowshoed, and that's what I look for when I get out there. But it's because I've been playing with that when I was younger.
Okay.
Right. What I'm curious, what's the sound? And when you mentioned about being looking at the snow hanging off the trees. So what comes to mind when you think of the snow hanging off the trees?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm not really... I haven't done a lot of observations on necessarily what that's telling me. I think I just enjoy the beauty of it. But I was thinking about your sounds and wondering why I haven't paid as much attention to sounds before. But I think I have long hair that covers my ears, and then I wear a toque. And so even when I'm speaking to the children, you know, I'm always asking them to repeat themselves, or I have to uncover my ears. So maybe I'm just not hearing as many sounds as you are in the wintertime.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, and the different humidity levels, also the sounds transmit better in higher humidity. Yeah. That's interesting. Now, going through trees and around trees, do you look at the now away from the snowy part, but mm-hmm. the life of the trees and what's around the trees in the winter?
I've been looking at the barks of trees because, you know, the leaves really help identify a tree, but in the winter you don't have those unless there's a few still hanging on. I find oaks quite often have a few leaves still hanging on. So I enjoy that. You know, the shagbark hickory is always an easy one to identify with the bark. But also, I think I've mentioned before on the show that we have a lot of black cherry. And so I really enjoy identifying that because I find the bark is almost like scales. And so that's what I spend a lot of time looking at to see if I can identify the trees through the bark in the wintertime. Mm.
Or which trees the squirrels are spending a lot of time, and then you'll know what kind of nuts are in the ground around them?
Yeah. Okay. Yep, sometimes if I need help, I'll dig around the snow and see if there's any evidence of seeds or cones. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, and also in the winter, sometimes it's hard to tell if a tree is still alive. Right? So in the summertime, it's the tree that doesn't have any leaves. But in the wintertime, none of them have leaves. So how do you tell if it's dead or... you know, if it's just hibernating, I don't know.
Well, that's, and so you'll go back to the same place. That'll be one for our spring mm-hmm. chat. You know, go back to the same place and find out, you know, if there are any buds on it. Yeah.
Yeah, because even with the black cherry I've been observing, they all look dead to me in the wintertime. Mm. And some of them might be, but I know because I was there, you know, in the summertime, that they are, you're very much alive. So I think I'd like to observe more identifiers of whether it's still alive in the wintertime or not.
Do you go out sometimes and plan to dealing with the animals that might be out there other than humans? Mm-hmm. So have you done things related to that?
Well, around Christmas time, I took the kids outside to provide a Christmas feast for the animals. And the idea was that we would, you know, take different types of food and come back later and see if there were any footprints where we could identify which animals mm-hmm. were around in the woods and came to our feast. So that was a fun activity.
And I guess deciding what types of foods to take. Mm-hmm. Do you plan that before you go out, or do you go out and put out different ones and see what's taken?
Yeah, it was kind of what we had, what we thought animals might enjoy, some fruits and nuts and things like that. I think at the time we didn't really sort of last minute decided to go out. We had planned it, but didn't have things prepared, and then it looked like a good opportunity. And I said, let's take what we have. So we went with peanut butter and bird seed. And I had some pine cones collected. So I guess the experiment for us was how to leave the food there. You know, mm-hmm. and we had thought about, you know, tying some things in trees and, you know, sprinkling things around or placing it on stumps. But when we were there, we tried to spread it on the pine cones and sprinkle it in bird seed. And then we didn't have anything to, like, tie it up in a tree. So we're like, well, we'll leave a couple on a stump. And what ended up working best was just finding a stick. You know, putting it in the jar of peanut butter, dipping it in the birdseed, and then just standing it straight up in the snow.
Oh, nice.
And when we came back for observations, those were really easy to see because the cones were knocked off the stumps, but the sticks stayed there, and you could just see the footprints of the animals that came to see it. So we'll have to try that again with some different types of food and sort of plan the placement of it. But the stick option ended up working really well for us, so we'll probably do that one again too.
So the boys, that your boys mm-hmm. are using prior knowledge mm-hmm. with the stick idea, but then they're pretty good at making up new ideas, right?
Yeah.
So they may come up with something else that would be used, so they compare it to one to the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so planning. And then you said seeds. Do you know what kind of seeds they had?
Yeah. I think that was a bag of, like, sunflower seeds, bird seeds.
Okay. Like a wild birdseed mix.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That way you know what's the best one for whatever's out there. Mm-hmm. I know my chickadees love the sunflower seeds.
Right.
But I was worried because I thought, wow, they come in and take one and go and come back and go. And I watched one chickadee going from a pine tree, not too far away, you know, about 10 meters, fly in, take one and dart away and put the seed in the bark.
Oh,
in the okay. In the groove of the bark. Mm-hmm. And then come back and get another one, go on a different part of the tree. Mm-hmm. And it did that for 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I didn't stay still for 15 minutes, so it may have taken more than I thought. But still, it was this one bird taking them.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think it was mostly squirrels that visited ours. I mean, if there were birds, I didn't notice, but we definitely saw lots of squirrel tracks where we had left them. I find another thing that I tend to leave behind is some strands of hair. It was like very long hair.
Yeah.
It always seems to be falling out. And I've left some on the deck before, or sometimes I groom my dog and I leave some because the birds take it and make nests with it. So sometimes that's another, like, I'm not feeding them, but it's another way of sort of providing for them. And I definitely see it gone. And sometimes you see the nests in the trees in the summertime, and there's your hair, and there's the dog hair.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
So that's another thing to observe.
That's a good idea. I know you mentioned once where you you collected fluff from your dryer at home.
Oh yes.
And you would the lint, you might call it, and stuff it in tubes.
Toilet paper rolls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we did that for fire starters for a while.
No, so that's another idea you can take with you when you go out in the woods.
Yeah, drop some dryer lint places and see if it's gone next time, and maybe look for it in a bird nest or a squirrel nest somewhere next time.
Mm. So I don't know if listeners are going to be able to pick up a few ideas from this, but I certainly have two that I'm going to try. I'm going to do my experiment with the different ways of putting peanut butter and seeds out for them, and whether straight up and down, on an angle, maybe even on a branch that's on a tree.
Mm-hmm.
That way I don't look for squirrels, I look for the birds that are coming to it. Yeah. Great ideas.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to share with us about going out right now and taking kids?
Well, my kids are getting older, and it's a little harder to get them out in the woods. So I sometimes entice them with tobogganing.
Mm.
So, you know, we have to walk to the toboggan hill. So that's their sort of motivation to get out there. But then we can still do our observations along the way and bring the treats with us. So a reward for the animals and a reward for the kids, I guess.
Oh, nice. Hot chocolate, is that a favorite?
Yes, that's a good one for sure. So,
well, I'm going to invite listeners to send in their favorite hot chocolate mix.
Oh, yeah, that's
good. And whether or not, you know, the argument over putting marshmallows in or not.
Mm-hmm. I think it was they had a Christmas play at school, and my children are very shy and they didn't want to be in it, and I didn't force them, but I said, if you do, we'll do a gourmet hot chocolate when you get home. And so we had gourmet hot chocolate as a reward. They went through with it, so I think it's a pretty good motivator.
Oh, very good. Yeah. I'll have to get that recipe from you.
Yeah.
Most of my hot chocolate's just chocolate.
Hmm.
Yeah. Milk or no milk or cream?
Oh, there's milk and whipped cream and sprinkles and mini chocolate chips. We really had to up the ante on that one.
Oh, I guess. Well, we'll get that recipe and we'll have it for people next time.
Okay.
Kristen, thank you very much. This is great. Next time we talk, hopefully you can tell me a little bit about it, taking things like going snowshoeing and whether or not you really want to do snowshoeing with us or not. But a lot of parents haven't done that, where the kids have been learning to do snowshoeing. So maybe we could talk about it.
Okay, that sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lay down in the shade. And
we'll be right back.
special guest back to Aboriginal Voices here at CFRC today, Lindsay Redekop. How are you doing on this? Well, actually, it's a snowy Sunday afternoon for you.
Yeah, it's a lot of snow out there, but it really looks like a beautiful winter wonderland.
That's good. And you were out snowshoeing, the kids were out snowshoeing and you were out skiing.
That's right. I was on my cross-country skis. We have a nice recreation trail close by, so we like to get out and use that all seasons of the year.
Very good. That's a real spark for those people who are going to be learning about snowshoeing today, or not today, but this year, this winter. It's perfect snowy. Now, we were talking here at Aboriginal Voices about returning to our land-based learning and bringing resources in, and you're the expert in this field because you've been doing this for many, many years. Part of it is looking at, you know, the appropriate richness to bring in Indigenous culture to all students and all people in your family into the program. So can you just give me a quick rundown on when you started and what was the focus that happened with your everyday with your kindergarten children outdoors?
Sure. Well, we moved into a new school about 10 years ago, and we had this beautiful area just adjacent to the school property. We figured out that it was actually a part of the school property, and so we were able to use it and explore. And we got some landscape rocks in there so we could kind of make it like an outdoor classroom area, a gathering place for our students. And it's a really special place to them. They find a lot of peace in nature, and it's really amazing. You know, kindergarten is a busy place inside the classroom, and when we get outside, we really find that nature is just really calming for them. And so that whole piece of self-regulation is so important with children. And we really find that outdoors, they can really hone in on learning and just being outdoors and connecting with nature.
Well, that's excellent. And that leads us to our focus this year in 2026. And we're going to do a little bit each season. And today we're going to talk about the winter season. Fortunately, Mother Nature's helping. Lots of snow.
That's right. Yes.
Now, I'll let you tell me a little bit about what you've been doing with a few of the ideas with your own boys as well as the kids.
Sure, of course. So we've had a bit of snow here and there. And so on the heavy snowfall days, when I get the kids outside, of course, they kind of check to see what kind of snow it is. So, you know, some kids, as soon as we get outside and they see the snow, they immediately want to build a snowman. Well, we've been talking about the different kinds of snow, and really we need a certain kind of snow that will be packing snow to build a snowman, which is great on the days when it is. I teach them how to roll the snowballs. We find pieces of nature that we can use, sticks for arms, rocks for eyes. They used a pine cone for the nose the last time. So things like that. But on those days when it's a different kind of snow, okay, we can't make a snowman. What else can we do? A lot of times it's building a fort or building a snow shelter, things like that. So that's kind of where the kids are at. I know kids in my class, we kept finding these big sort of boulders of snow and ice that were kind of in a big pile after the snowplow had plowed the school parking lot. So we started moving them over, and we were able to make a fort with those ones. My own kids, when I sent them out into the backyard on the snow day, we had so much snow, immediately they started building a snow mountain. So they built a huge snow mountain, and then they started to hollow it out to make a tunnel so they could go inside, things like that. But we also talk about winter safety too as a as an additional step with children.
Okay, so that's, I really like that. So the kinds of snow, and have you done any conversation with the young people about the sounds that go with the different temperatures?
Absolutely. When the temperatures really went down last week, we were finding, you know, the snow was really loud and crunchy. I was even talking to some kids about the sound that their snowsuit was even making. You could hear a different crunching, crinkling of the material because it was so cold.
That's great. I love that because I mentioned it to a few other people, some of the people around our radio station, and they had no idea what I was talking about. So I'm glad you're having young people do that. What other activities have you done? I love the idea of language, bringing the language out, but what other activities have you done to stir the kids' interests?
So the one day when we went outside, we noticed that there were a lot of different tracks in the forest. So we got out magnifying glasses and our iPads, and we were kind of zooming in, taking a bunch of photos. Then we were able to talk about those, compare the footprints, the way they looked, compare them to our own footprints and things like that. And then we were able to, back in the classroom, look up some pictures and identify some of the tracks as well. So we talk about, you know, being connected to nature. And this is another way where we can teach children about sharing the land with the animals, which I know is a very important part of Indigenous culture.
And it also gives you, by looking at the tracks, the activity that's there prior to the kids coming out, but also then ask about the animals themselves. I wonder, you know, do they bring that back into the classroom in forms of play or talk or paintings or anything like that?
Absolutely. So we're able to get at the store, we buy little toy animals and things like that, and then we borrow kits from an early childhood learning center that we have, and so they send us a kit with like forest animals and things like that. So in our classroom, we actually brought some snow in, put it in our water center, and we were able to have the kids exploring with some of the animals in there. But then we also had a table set up another week where we had cotton balls and some wood and pine cones and some other things, and they were able to build like little shelters or habitats for forest animals.
Interesting idea there. You brought snow inside for them to play with or to work experience, but then you put it in the sand kit. What happened to the snow?
We have a big water table, and it's kind of like a long rectangular sink, and it's metal, so it did keep the snow cold for a little while, and so they had a big whole mountain of snow in there. They moved it around, formed it. They actually made a cave for the animals to go inside for some shelter. And then, you know, as it started to melt, then we had other kids investigating, oh, I wonder if we put water on it, what happens, things like that. So then they were actually watching to see and doing their own sort of science experiments with the snow.
I can just imagine, you know, in my home, if I did that, I'd have to run and figure out, can I get maybe a small metal tray or something like that and get the snow, mm-hmm. and I can then bring it in and explore with it.
Or if you had a big pot or something like that too.
Yeah,
like
I'm thinking of a cookie tray That way I don't have my hands way down the edges of the pot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but maybe.
Yeah, and we had kids, you know, put on their mittens or gloves. So then if they were feeling too cold, then they could have that sort of protection.
Mm-hmm. Have you talked about at all things that animals would eat outdoors?
Sure. Yeah, we have some plants in our forest that animals may come and eat from. We have we did have some bird feeders out there. We need to put some more bird seed out so that we can welcome some more of those bird friends. And we do have some bird feeders that we're going to make with old milk and cream cartons.
Okay, so that's using some of the tools, some of the things you have around that wouldn't necessarily go in recycling. You could reuse them instead till they get used up.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about animals and the food they have and the tracks they make. I'm just wondering about when you go out to with the young people, especially with the changes in the weather that we've had in January, where we've gone from temperatures that are above zero to temperatures in the minus 15, minus 10 range. And then last week, they were in the minus 23 range. So do you talk about with the kids and get them talking about layers or anything like that, how to dress for the outdoors?
Absolutely. So we covered a lot of things when we were talking to the kids about winter safety. You know, we want them to be outside and playing, but we also want them to be mindful. You know, it's very important that they play away from the roads when we have snow plows going by, cars that may slide, things like that. So we covered those kind of things, as well as, you know, making sure that we dress in layers, that we have our mittens and hats and even our hoods up, neck warmers or scarves to help us protect our faces. Because with those really cold temperatures, we did notice a lot of red cheeks, and we talked to the kids about that. You know, and when you're feeling really cold, it's important to let us know. And when the temperatures are minus 20 or more, we have usually indoor recess at school. There were a couple of days where we went outside, but the bells rang after 10 minutes just to give the kids a little bit of fresh air, but then make sure they get back inside. And we did have conversations about frostbite as well, you know, like things that can happen if you do stay out too long, or if you don't wear mittens or things like that.
Okay, so the safety aspect of winter.
That's right.
I like that. This is really enlightening for a lot of people to be able to think about all these things, and especially if they talk with their children and add to their language knowledge.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Is there anything else that you can think about now that you would like to tell us for this winter session?
So we were talking about snow and ice, and then my teaching partner had a great idea to show the kids how to make ice cream in the classroom. So really all you need are some baggies, she used whole milk or cream, ice cubes, and salt. And so she followed a little experiment that she found online, and they were able to make some ice cream and try that out.
That sounds like a really yummy thing to do.
Yeah, it was fun. They loved it.
I wonder if the animals outdoors would like the ice cream too.
Possibly.
We'll send out the leftovers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, there were none. Whoops.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
I was thinking about another activity we did where we filled up a jar with some snow. We brought that into the classroom. We had the children make predictions and observations. You know, so they're really using their language to communicate what they think might happen. So it's another way you can do an easy science experiment really with them. And then just over the day, we talked about how it was changing. You could even bring in some measurement. So measuring the amount of water that is in the jar, measuring the amount of snow that was in the jar, and comparing the two, it's really eye-opening for some of them. And you can even, with the amount of snow we're getting now, you could even get outside with a ruler every hour and take a measurement.
Mm-hmm. That, well, using the measurement tools, that would be really good, but I'm not sure 5-6 year olds were really going to read the numbers. So do you notice that they try to, or?
Oh, yeah, we have quite a few that, because they recognize a lot of numbers to 10 or 20, they can, yeah, they can usually figure it out.
Oh, okay, that's great.
Guidance, you know, you can help them out. We have a number line in the classroom too that we use kind of as a reference for them, and then if they count up to the number that they're seeing, sometimes that helps them to identify the number if they're not recognizing it right away.
And if you take the ruler and put it perpendicular to the floor, and they can see it growing, getting bigger or higher from the floor, so yeah,
right.
Great idea. Great idea. Lindsay, last word to you. What would you like to tell parents as they get ready for taking kids outdoors like you do?
Yeah, I just think that it's really important that we teach kids that even though it's cold outside, it's so good for our bodies to get the fresh air, to get outside. Like I said, it's so good for their self-regulation and their well-being and their health overall if we teach them to be active from a young age and really enjoying all of the seasons. And winter is, you know, it's cold, but it's one of those seasons that we can teach them to enjoy and take a look around and just be at peace and close to nature.
Lindsay Redekop, thank you very much. I really appreciate this. Hope to see you out on the snowshoe trails.
Okay, sounds good. I look forward to it.
I leave the porch light on just in case. Open that door swings and I see your face and I. Oh, life,
and I keep your photograph to this day, wishing and hoping that you're okay. And I'm missing you now.
I'm never happy down my rave. It's a home, I did little out of it. Then I home, I need a corner of it. The home
was the same. Love remains. All this hurts inside me. Call your name to this day. Wish you were home beside me. Left your bedroom in its place. Posters and memories unerased. And I oh, leave a mile.
Standing in the doorway, I hold back my tears. Seems just like yesterday, although it's been years. And I missing you now.
I never know if it's a
ניצחון עדיל לטאו להורבי זהו נחום העם לטאו קונר רבי תחרון All the same, love remains All this hurts inside me Call your name to this day Wish you were home beside me light on just in case open that door swings and I see your face and I I leave the porch light on just in case open that door swings and I see your face and I
Are you listening from inside a local prison, or do you have a friend or loved one in a local prison or youth detention center? Calls from Home is a monthly radio program for you. On Calls from Home, we share voicemails, messages, song requests, and dedications. Anyone can contact us with a message or song request for a friend or loved one on the inside. To get in touch, call or text 613-917-1390. Email cfrcprisonradio@riseup.net or send us a message on Instagram at cfrcprisonradio. The CFRC radio signal reaches the following local and regional prisons: Millhaven, Bath, Collins Bay and Frontenac, Joyceville and Pittsburgh, the Sundance Youth Detention Center here in Kingston, Quinte in Napanee, and the Cape Vincent Correctional Facility in upstate New York. Messages and song requests will be broadcast once per month on Wednesday between 7 and 8 p.m. here on CFRC 101.9 FM or on the web at cfrc.ca. For 2025, Calls from Home will air on the following dates: April 16th, May 14th, June 11th, July 9th, August 6th, September 3rd, October 1st, October 29th, November 26th, and December 24th. Please send in your message at least one day before the broadcast date. These upcoming show dates, contact info, and additional information is available online at cfrc.ca or on Instagram at CFRC Prison Radio. We look forward to receiving your messages and sharing them over the airwaves.
He who controls the spice controls the universe.
When the clock strikes midnight, the night truly begins. Step into the darkness on CFRC's Retro Radio Show, diving deep into the sounds of the past, from haunting classics to underground gems. This is DJ Terry, and every Friday night at midnight till 2 a.m., tune your dial to 101.9 or CFRC.ca and let the music pull you in.
There's no place.
There really is no place like home. It's where life happens, where dreams are built.